25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, presented by the Merlin Players. You'll love the music and the laughter. Continuing June 21st, 22nd, 23rd at 7:30, and at 2 p.m. on June 24th at the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. For tickets, call 507-332-7372 during box office hours or online at ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org. Sponsored by Reliance Bank, Faribault Woolen Mills, Donahue's Greenhouse, and Spectrum Reach. It's pandemonium at the Bee.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I want to thank you so much for waking up with us, for opening up your minds and celebrating creating and sharing your imaginations. I've got a little story today to open the show. I had the opportunity this week to hear Ahmed Ismail Youssef speak, and he's the author of the short story collection, The Lion's Binding Oath. And it's a collection of short stories that spans the years before and during Somali's civil war. Youssef, he talks about Somalia as the political issues, the social, the religious conflicts, and the portrayals of the country's love of poetry, music, and soccer. And it's a fascinating book. And he gave a great reading this week and had a great conversation with those in the audience about Somalia, refugees, neighbors, poetry, parenting, and so many other topics. I know I could have talked to him for hours. And in fact, he's going to be my guest next week at the second half of the show. I did an interview with him before he came to town, and he's a fascinating man, so I hope you'll tune in for that. But one comment that he made really caught my attention. He was talking about raising a teenager and how American his son is in his life, and what he caught my attention was his phrase that he never uses. As his in Ahmed's life as a father and as an American, he has chosen to reject the following words: busy, bored, and tired. And I thought, well, that's a really interesting observation of American culture that I imagine he hears it from his kids from time to time. I'm sure he hears it from other parents and friends. And I know that I have to say, I'm kind of guilty of that. Sometimes you say, oh, I'm busy. How's it going? Oh, I'm really tired. And, you know, although I don't have to have boredom very much in my life, but, you know, 2 out of 3, right? And this idea completely intrigues me. And I think sometimes we use that as an easy way to answer the question, how are you? I'm busy. And imagine what would be possible if we weren't busy, but that our lives were full of passion projects, gatherings with family and friends, creating love, adventures, and our heart's desire. And I think that if we did that, then our answers would become easier. We wouldn't just be busy. We'd be wanting to share what's happening in our lives about the project we're working on or the experience we're having. So I think I'm going to challenge myself to try to come up with an answer to that question, how are you, that shows something fabulous of my making in my life. I don't know, it might be hard. I'm going to have to really work on that. But I hope that some of you will take that challenge too. And I think maybe if you did answer that question and you took the time to engage yourself in things that were your passion projects, things you love to do, that you might invent, imagine, write, act, produce, and perform a play in the next month. Do you think that's possible? Or maybe you'd have time to create a 3D art piece. Well, I am going to have guests on my show that are going to share exactly how they're doing that. And so I'm very thrilled today to be able to have fabulous people who are not, I'm guessing, bored, tired, and busy. They're not going to say busy, right? They're all shaking their heads. That's good. In Art Zany Studio today, I am welcoming guests from two Northfield Arts Guild upcoming shows, the Young People's Theater Workshop and the gallery exhibit Freeform. They'll start with the Young People Theater's workshop, and at the middle of the show, we'll switch over and talk about Freeform. The Young People's Theater Workshop is an incredible education program at the Arts Guild. It is in its 28th year. I think that's so phenomenal, mind-blowing, yes. And it offers experiences in creative drama and performance, and they start off with a theme, and by the end of the, I know Bob always tells me it's not 3 weeks, because you actually don't meet for 3 weeks. It's less than 3 weeks, and you're ready to put on a show, and I think that it is spectacular. The public performances of this session start on June 27th and then run for 27th at 5:30. That's a Wednesday. And then Thursday on June 28th at 5:30, and then June 29th, that's a Friday. So as soon as you finish listening to Art Zany Radio, you can run over and see that. I should double check. I'm going to turn on the microphones and welcome everybody to the studio. It is performing at Arcadia, yes?
Correct.
Okay, I didn't get the details. And Bob isn't here to lead us in the chorus of where Arcadia is located. It is
right behind Perkins.
Yep. behind the Perkins is how we all say it, so everybody knows that. I'm so excited. I've got a huge crowd of folks, and I want to be able to have them all introduce themselves. So we're going to start down on this end, and tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you love the Young People's Theater Workshop, or maybe just theater in general, and maybe some of your experiences in theater. So we'll jump right in and tell us your story.
Hello, I'm Corey, and I'm going into sixth grade at the Northfield Middle School. And I really got into theater because my friends had heard about Young People's Workshop, and we're going to do it, and I thought it sounded really interesting. So I decided to join, and I really found my love for theater. And so far, I've been in the tech crew for Les Mis after that, and this is my third year doing YPT.
Oh, wow, so you really you fell in love quickly. And this is your third year of doing YPT, so now you're experienced, and are your friends still in it with you?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's one of the things I think people keep coming back for, is the great friendships that they make. It's an incredible program. And this is a sibling day, which is kind of exciting, because Corey has her sister here, who's going to also introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her.
Hello, I am Annie, and I am going into fourth grade at Prairie Creek Community School, and I fell in love with theater because my sister was doing YPT, and I thought that'd be really fun to be with her, and so I started last year, and it was really fun, so I decided to go again this year.
And this is your second year then, and were you in the same group with your sister for 1 year?
No.
No, so you've always been separate.
Yes.
I'm going to have to ask our next set of siblings how that is to be in the same group. So go ahead and let's introduce yourselves.
My name is James Muth, and I'm going to be a junior at Arcadia next year.
And how long have you been doing YPTW?
This is, I believe, my ninth year.
Ninth year, so you have been. Did you start when you were first eligible, right?
Yes.
Because we're trying to remember if it's second or third grade. Third grade that you can start. Okay. And what do you love about now that you have all those years under your belt, you can speak as an expert. And I'm going to have you tip the microphone up just a little bit. There you go. Perfect.
What I really love about theater is just the ability to be someone else for a little bit, to be able to tell a story, to not be yourself, and to really encapture the audience and tell a story of whatever you may be telling.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing about YPTW that people don't know is that, you start with nothing when you begin. So you are in the making of this play from every single aspect during that time. So it's not a script. It's you making the script. And
yeah.
I think that's a pretty incredible experience. So that's exciting. Then do you have another year of eligibility?
Yes. Next year I'll still be able. So 10 years.
10 years. That's phenomenal. And your sibling is here. Not just sibling, your twin, right?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Grace Muth, James's twin. I've also been doing YPT for 9 years. My favorite thing is kind of seeing how everything comes together at the end. There's always this moment, usually at the end of the second week, where you kind of feel, we're not ready, we're not going to have a show in time. And then by opening night, you're always ready.
Exactly. There's that I think that positive pressure, I'll say that,
yeah.
Of having that firm deadline. There's no calling it off and moving the show to a week later. You have to come up with something that forces choices and leads you towards the next stage. And I think that it's really phenomenal, because, you know, I know that you start with a theme. And I Bob gave this to me about the time you guys were starting. I thought, wouldn't that be fun to write an essay about that, or a story? And then I haven't written a thing, because the time just went like zoom by. And so I'm thinking about all of you, and you're probably halfway through your plays. You've got the scripts, you're practicing, putting together props, thinking about, yep. And so, and having to memorize all those lines. So, Amy, introduce yourself. I'd love to have our listeners learn about you.
My name is Amy Hazlett Marroquin. I am a teacher at Prairie Creek Community School, and I have been working in various capacities with YPT for the last 10 summers.
So you've been there
almost 1 year. Got 1 year up on here.
And so there's some magic in this particular. And so as an instructor, what does it, can you put into words? I think it's kind of, it feels a little miraculous every time. And it's so extraordinary to watch these productions and see what they can do in such a short period of time.
It's a pretty amazing process. I've gotten to work with every age group, and every process is a little bit different. When children are beginning their first year at YPT, there's a lot of unknowns and kind of bringing children into the process and teaching them to trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time when you're working with high school students, they've got this down. They have very strong opinions about what they would like the storyline to be. And it's a lot more working on compromising and coming together and collaborating to create one story that makes sense. But it's always amazing. There's always a moment where you think there is no way this is going to come together.
That's what Grace said too,
and
right?
Then it does. It does, and it's always a good story.
And that's what's fun for the audience too. So we want to remind our listeners that the performances of Young People's Theater Workshop open on June 27th, which isn't that far away. It's right around the corner. It's on. I'm surprised myself that June is almost done, but you have a few more days to keep working. So you're good. You're good. And runs for three performances. So June 27th at 5:30 at Arcadia, 28th at 5:30, and then on the 29th Friday.
The Friday performance is at 10 a.m.
10 a.m., right after the radio show. I usually buzz on over if I can make it to be able to see you perform. And so, Corey, let's start with you and ask you about the theme for this year. You'll get to reveal it to our audiences and tell us a little about how a group of your age group started to think about this topic.
So the theme this year is Opposites Attract. And we came up with so many cool ideas for our group, and there are two main ideas. And some of the people, like, there was an idea that had a lot more people that wanted to do it. But our director came up with a compromise because the other people that wanted to do this different idea were really sticking with the idea and had strong opinions about it. So our director came up with a compromise that, so we have, our play is about foreign exchange students from a different planet coming to Earth and having very interesting customs, including squirting whipped cream in people's shoes.
That sounds like a fun way for you guys to play with whipped cream on the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, how fun. When you say that phrase, opposites attract, I think everybody might have a little thing that pops up in their mind of what they want to do. And I don't know that that would have ever been something that I would have dreamed up. And so I think that's kind of a cool way to, and for us to get excited about what the heck is going to happen at this school if this is the custom. Sounds like a great thing. And now every group, I think for people that aren't familiar with the program, they divide into age groups and work on creating this play. So Annie, your group is a different group. So you, how did your group look at that phrase, opposites attract?
Well, our main idea was something to do with royalty and peasants. So having a lot of money and versus having a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of built off of that, adding new ideas. And so that's how our story came to life.
And so that's part of the story that comes on stage. And tell me, how did you come to an agreement about, because that's the part that I think is always the hardest, is, as you said, everybody has lots of exciting things that might or could or possibly or are so awesome that they can't, how do you shape that? What did you learn about that?
Well, so first we focused on the words opposites, and we came up with a bunch of different opposites, like hot and cold, and then one stuck to us, royalty and peasants. And so we decided to kind of start our story there.
I think that's a good, sometimes something has a little magnetism or a little, I shouldn't, I just thought about that, a little, you know, pop for you, and you think, that's the one that we're going to do. And the high school group, now that you have all these years of experience, I would imagine that everybody finds out the theme on the first day. Like, nobody gets advance notice of this. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We all find it out at the same time.
Because that, I suspect those high schoolers would probably start working on their own plays if they heard in advance. Mm-hmm. And probably trying to bring people on board and politic. So tell us how the high schools approached the topic.
So we actually did something very similar initially. We made lists of opposites and things that came to mind when we thought of opposites, and then things that came to mind when we thought of attract. But also, we just had an idea right off the bat that was a full plot line and everything. It was an explosion at the magnet factory, and everybody gets stuck together. And I thought, you know, that was the first idea we had, and it was really entertaining. But then we managed to move away from that idea and think something out that was a little bit different.
And so you have to take those initial impulses, and you have to figure out how could that turn into character and storyline, and how are you going to begin it and end it, and actually, you know, put it together. I think that's phenomenal. Over the years, Grace, what have your experiences been in, you know, coming up with the play? And does it feel like there's a pattern now, and that it's an idea that you could take in the future of, you know, if I have to write a term paper or, you know, any of those things, or is it something that every experience is really of its own?
Well, now that you mention it, I can definitely see parallels between, like, developing a thesis for an English paper and, like, coming up with an idea for the show. You pick each theme apart and then kind of flesh them out, which is really what we did with our show, is we had an idea and then we started to flesh it out. But over the years, I think now that I'm in the older groups, we definitely focus more on social issues with our play, definitely like trying to bring awareness to different stuff, but still in a light manner. So our show is supposed to be a comedy. Hopefully, it'll come across as a comedy.
You guys don't have an audience until those performances,
yeah.
And that's because I think that's one of the exciting things about it, is that you guys don't show each other, and so even on the performance day, it's all kind of brand new to everybody.
Yeah.
And for me as an audience member, one of the greatest things is to see that progression of age, and to see the you know, the young group and their performance, and then as you go through, you get to, as you said, they usually get more complicated in terms of its reflection of community and the greater world.
Yeah.
And that's fun to watch in one performance. You get to see that whole range. And Amy, tell us what keeps you coming back to YPTW in the summer.
Honestly, YPT is, I have never enjoyed a job more than working at YPT. I say that realizing that probably some Prairie Creek families are listening right now. But it's been a really rewarding experience, and I've been able to learn from the process and take from the process and actually incorporate it into my teaching. We do mini YPTs in my classroom almost every year. Not quite as intensely.
Right. We should mention that you teach second and third grade.
I teach second and third graders. But the process is really beautiful, and it's unique. And I'm so glad I stumbled onto it 10 years ago when we came to Northfield.
Yeah, it is. And that's so, I do think it's something that everybody should experience in some way, sometime, because it's really, it's motivational. I think, wow, these kids came together, they had a nothing, and then this short period later, they have this something incredible. And it's only because they immersed themselves in the process, and they took the risks, and they, you know, worked together. I wonder if maybe we could close by asking each of you a little bit about what are some of the things that you've learned through the Young People's Theater Workshop, and some of the things do you find yourself doing, maybe we'll start with Grace, and doing through through those experiences and taking what you learn at YPTW into your lives?
Well, I don't know. I like having all this time to think.
You know, well, that's why I switched it up so the other side could get a little time to think.
I've learned so much about just the inner workings of theater and how it's such, like, the process.
And you've gone on to do other shows with the Arts Guild.
Yeah, I've done a couple of NAG shows. I've actually directed two one-acts at the high school, and doing YPT has really helped with that process, knowing, okay, we need to have this done by a certain point in the rehearsal process, and this is something that's gonna come up because, you know, theater people have trouble compromising.
I think just groups of people. Everybody has strong opinions, right?
Yeah.
Compromise is a good skill to learn, how to bring a group together. So that I think that's extraordinary. And I like that about that's a life skill that you can carry with you. James, what's your experience been?
I really agree. I think that the compromising has been something that I've learned through YPT. Also, you know, flexibility, just working with others, and really just being a member of a team, and realizing you're not always going to get your way and you're going to be fine with it. And that's really a life skill it's important to learn early and to learn over and over again. And I think that's really an important part of YPTW to me.
I think that's a great, great part of it, because it's more than just being able to hang out and use your imagination. I would imagine it's, well, I've never done the experience. I don't know, but they should do an adult one. Wouldn't that be fun? So how about for you, Annie? What are some of the things that you've learned from this experience?
I think most of all, it's flexibility, because you have to learn that just say yes to everyone's ideas, because you could build off of them and find new ones.
I forgot that's one of the rules that you have to have, say yes.
That makes a big, that you get a big accomplishment with, and you can make a show faster with, and I think that's mainly what's come to me.
I think that's you're only 2 years into it, and that's a kind of an incredible, and they're all nodding, saying that that's you got it. Mm-hmm. And Corey, your experiences, what do you take away?
Well, I think the second year was probably the show that I really took away from the most. I had very few lines, but it was still really fun for me. I got to lie on stage during a scene, pretend to be asleep, and then my other scene, I got to say roar a couple times. But yeah, it was really fun to just, like, I was on stage a lot, but yeah, it was really interesting.
So no matter what part you play, you get to have that same experience. And you mentioned earlier that you'd gone on to do some tech work for one of the shows at the Arts Guild, and so you're not only learning how to be on stage, but that's the part I think is you get inside the process of writing and, you know, producing and performing everything. So I this is a great experience, and I know our show is taking you away from your rehearsal right now, and your groups are probably wondering. Hopefully they'll be able to listen. Amy, any last words about YPTW and why people should come to see the performances out at Arcadia? And tickets are at the door, so they don't have to buy those in advance. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Come. You will be amazed. You will be entertained. You might learn a thing or two.
That's exactly right. It's a great, great program. And I want to thank my guest today, Amy Hassett-Markeen. Thank you for being here. I think this might have been your first time on the radio show.
It is.
So there's a couple of firsts here. And also want to thank Grace and James Muth. Thank you for being here. Twins, and I which I adore, of course. These are some of my favorite Northfield people. This is very exciting. And, of course, and Corey and Annie Demas, thank you for being here. You're an extraordinary. It's fun to see your experiences. And do you think you'll still be doing it when you're in high school?
Probably.
So I think you can see them on stage through the years, and that's one of the great things about this program. So I am excited to share this story with you folks. This is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. We are going to take a quick break. I'm going to pop on some music just to get us through the transition as we bring in our next set of guests. This is a song that I happened to just stumble upon, and I thought it was kind of cool and kind of fun, so I'm going to go ahead and and play that for you. This is called I'm Moving On. So here we go.
Surrender, baby, you the boss. I no need in fighting a hopeless cause. I see your heart is made of stone, so I'm packing up my dreams and I'm moving on. Oh, I'm moving on. To be spellbound in your arms, with all of your conniving, you lost your charm. You built the flame that warmed my heart, but your lying and cheating has torn us apart, and I'm moving on. My will. I no need to show regret. Have no fear. I'm on to that routine. The end is here. I'm gonna find somebody out there that will surrender to me in the loving care.
Folks, this is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. I want to thank you for tuning into the show that celebrates creating and stories. And I've got another great story for you here on Art Zaney Radio. I want to thank, I don't know if I mentioned the name of the artist for that particular song, so I want to double check that for you. That is Siobhan Scott, kind of a cool little fun R&B soul one. I'm Moving On from the Rare Soul Recordings. Kind of got me grooving and moving, so I love that. We are going to switch and talk about this incredible gallery show at the Northfield Arts Guild. You can get information at northfieldartsguild.org. Click on the Visual Arts tab. This is a gallery show that I had the chance to see ahead of time, and it is really quite extraordinary. I was very impressed as I walked into the room. It is an exhibition featuring sculptural work by 19 regional artists. Freeform marks the first exhibition in many years where they featured artists creating sculptural work. This exhibition was open to establish local and regional artists to submit up to 3 pieces in 3D media: bronze, ceramic, fiber, mixed media, silver, steel, and wood. The final exhibition has 19 artists. And it is an incredible, really, the way that the space is set up. It's you might think you know what sculptural works are, but if you go to this exhibit, you will see some surprises and so much movement. I think that's what surprised me most about the space that they've set up. And there is an artist reception on Friday, June 22nd, which is, in fact, tonight from 7 to 9. And so that is always fun to be able to go and meet the artists as they are in with their pieces. And my guest today, Jim Bonhoff, is one of the exhibitors. He is well known in Northfield. I'm gonna which mic do you want to grab, Jim? Either one works. Great, perfect.
Hello.
Welcome to Art Zaney Radio.
Good morning.
You can learn more about Jim at Jim Bonhoff, BOHNHOFF.com, which is a great website. And also I've got on the phone joining us Barbara Bond. Welcome, Barbara Bend, excuse me. Welcome to Art Zaney Radio.
Yeah, good morning.
It's such a thrill to have you here, and your website is barbbend.com.
Barbbend.com, yes.
And folks
can... Like bend in a river.
That's right. Yes, that's right. And it's and I had the chance to take a look at this exhibit, and I would say that your piece, I believe it was Wave Change, was that the title?
Yeah.
It really, really kind of grabs you as you walk into the door, and I think it can change people's mind about what sculpture is. And I'd love for you to give us a little visual tour of this exquisite piece. It's such a lively sculpture, and that really surprised me, because often you don't think of being able to have that much movement. So I'd love to hear how you accomplished that with this piece.
Yeah. Where do I start? I basically weld the insides, and then I can do, then I can make this movement with fabric, because that gives the structure. And I also can put weight on it, which is, it's covered with zippers.
Yes. So, and I'd love to know how you came up with that idea to use zippers as a material for a building.
You know, it's been a long haul. I mean, it's something I've slowly evolved into. But what I've done is, my first inspiration probably was about 30 years ago, when I saw an African doll with the zippers wrapped around her neck.
Oh, and, as and jewelry?
As jewelry, yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's really great. And I love to use throwaway items, anything that people have, you know, they don't see any value in. But anything that repeats and connects then makes a form, and I can use that form, or it makes a texture, and then I can use it for my work. And if I weld the inside, then I can put heavy weight on it. And once you start collecting something like zippers, people just start giving you zippers. I mean, I have so many zippers, and I started, you know, my first pile of collected zippers probably was 20 years ago, and people will call me and say, my sister-in-law died, and she has all these zippers. Are you interested? absolutely.
Well, and what's so interesting is from afar, I at first thought it was beading, and I thought, oh, that's extraordinary. And even though you get closer and it's a surprise that you see that it's zippers, it's still pretty extraordinary. And it's something I have never thought to use. And it gives it so much, as you mentioned, texture and pattern. And, you know, it what's probably great is that you can bend it and you can move it and shape it.
And it's, yeah, and zippers have their own, they have their own way of being, and they always make a curve. So you have to, when you sew them together like that, they always make a curve. So I have to change them and move them around and twist them and kind of work with them, because they've got their own language and I have to deal with it. And that creates a problem and also an opportunity to do some interesting things.
Right, and that one is in that shape of a wave, and then you have another piece in the show that is a more a character driven piece, and I'm forgetting the name of the piece right now. I'm sorry.
Is it the Healing Power of Time? Healing, that one?
Yeah. Oh, the Healing Power of Time. Right. Yes.
Yeah. And that has broken watch bands inside of it.
And that's, it really illuminates, and again, it's surprising when you put a bunch together what they look like.
Because you don't recognize what they are. You see the texture.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, and so tell us about developing these, because if you could check out your website, you have several different characters.
Right. Well, you know, they come from many different things. So Healing Power of Time has an interesting story to it, in that it, I was at the American Craft Council show, and I was, and another exhibitor was there, and she came over and talked to me, and she enjoyed my work, and she did poetry, and we got talking, and she shared a poem with me about how she recovered from her addiction, and she was from Colorado, and she talked about going in the mountains and in desperation and kind of curling up under a cave and feeling just alone and lost, and then she had this kind of turtle spirit come to mind. And she said, that's what has kept me sober, is the turtle spirit, and that's my turtle spirit. And I thought, I'm going to make a piece for this poem. And so I had this arch, this welded arch, and I thought, this could be a cave. I didn't know how I was going to make the turtle in it, but then the zipper, then the watch bands happened my way. And I made basically, she's kind of a Mother Earth, and she's a cave, but it's an inverted turtle shell. And it was supposed to be kind of a healing piece for that poem. And I have not found the woman. I have not seen the poem since. I sent her a picture of it saying, here's my piece for your poem. And I didn't hear from her. So,
oh, that's such a beautiful story.
It's kind of a prayer, really, to her sobriety. So that's an example of sometimes how I'm inspired to do things. The wave originally I was going to have, it was about immigration, and I was going to have all sorts of people on the wave. When I originally had done it, I welded it up about 4 years ago, and I thought, I can't put all these people on here. I can't do this. This is too crazy. And it was an idea that just didn't work. So the shape sat in our porch for about 3 years before I finally went, oh, I have all these white zippers. I can use zippers. I can really make it look like water. And that's what happened with that piece. But so I have to kind of wait sometimes when I get an idea for the idea to really take its shape, you know.
I love.
I was really tired of that welded piece in my porch.
Sometimes ideas take time to marinate, right?
Yeah, they do.
I love the way that you use your imagination, and you don't see things. You know, you see new ways of using things, and that's really inspiring. So, Barbara Bend is at the Northfield Arts Guild current show, which is called Freeform, and also Jim Bonhoeff has a piece, and I'm so excited that Jim is here. Most folks, maybe they don't know that Jim is responsible for, I don't know what percentage, nearly all, I'll say. Quite a few of our downtown signs along Division Street and along the shops in the downtown area. And it was so exciting to see that you had a piece in this show. And yours is also one that you gravitate towards because of the color.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell folks, is that something that you do? I haven't seen you display your artwork, like the sculpture, before.
Well, not all that often. You know, I've been kind of doing a different type of sculpture, I guess, with the signs and things. But it's I started a couple of years ago, and I took I end up with a lot of scraps. I cut out, it happens for this, I cut out a lot of MDO board for the signs and things. And I end up with all these circles, and I'll have stacks and stacks of circles and ovals and odd little shapes, and I'm always thinking, oh, what could I use those for? And so a couple years ago, I took all the pieces and I sort of made a three-dimensional piece that was kind of fun, and I think it was for the members show, and I had that in there. And then last year, I did a small piece where I took little circles, and I'm always trying to get the depth, so I'm trying to work with building out, yet sort of keeping it on one, you know, different planes, with the idea then that I could do a little color studies. So that's where the last one I did was painted all one color in a kind of in a light off-white. And so you could see how the depth made a difference. I was looking for the shadows and things as it's in the gallery. So now on this piece, then I was, I titled it A Peek Through the Canopy, and there was this little piece, and I had, when I was in the Rice County Wilderness area, I think I was looking for morel mushrooms, and we're going for a little hike, and it was, I looked up through the canopy of the trees, and then I could see just a little bit of the blue sky, and that was sort of the beginning of how I could use the wood and bring that feeling. And then with the green, of course, it's a vibrant green, and so it was fun. Felt good. So,
and yeah, it was called, what was the title of it again?
Peek through the Canopy.
Through the Canopy. Now it makes perfect sense that you tell the story. Correct. And I thought it's really interesting that there's no words on this piece.
Right.
Were you thinking maybe I should add some, because you do so much with,
I
you
did,
know,
actually,
choosing.
Any number of times. Yes, I was thinking, I could put a little of this or that, but then sometimes I thought, no, just keep it simple. And it was simple worked, I guess. So.
And it does. It really draws your attention. And I can see the canopy effect because of the way that you've got the layers.
Oh, that's great. You know, the interesting, one quick thing is Jan Shoger, who sets up I'm on the gallery committee, so I help. I do my bit part with Wendell Arneson and Jan. And when we were looking, she walked past mine and said, oh. And she recognized that immediately. You know, I thought, oh, I bet you nobody will ever notice that. She said, oh, I like that, with a little, just that little touch in there. And I thought, well, Gosh.
Feels good. Geez,
yeah, right, of course.
That's extraordinary. Yeah, I love that both of you have taken things that were, were maybe going to be discarded and then managed to create gorgeous artwork. And I think that's only, you just have to allow your imagination to do that. I don't know what gives you the inspiration or the confidence to think that, to think about how you can use it in different ways. Barb, I'll ask you, Barb, first.
Well, it's play. For me, it's play.
Ah, I love that.
If I have a group of things, I might sit down and go, how do these fit together? And I might just play with them. And then I hang them half done in my studio. And when the time comes, I'll go, oh, I could use that. And then I bring it down. So I have a lot of whimsical, half-done kind of ideas. I think writers do that. I mean, I think that's part of the creative process, that you get a little spark of inspiration, and you kind of tuck it away for, I can use that sometime. And that spark for me comes from play. If I'm under stress and I have to get something done, it really is stifles my creativity. I've gotten better at that, so it isn't so stifling. But play is really important.
I think that's, and Jim is nodding too. I think that's a really great experience that a lot of times as you get older, it's harder to find that space or make that commitment. I don't know. How do you manage that, Jim?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, there's a lot of different options for things to spend your time with sometimes, to be honest with you. And yeah, sometimes it's just, it does feel good, to take something, and I can think about it. It gives me time to sort of think what would be something, how to use things. And I get inspired actually by just walking around downtown. I mean, you look at all the different things, how people do repurpose things. We've got a lot of shops that have lots of different things, and we've got galleries and places to be inspired. And I think it's, that's around me all the time, the wood that I work with. So if I can then repurpose it and do something that I enjoy doing as a variation is good.
Right, and you get to decide. You get to be the boss about how it goes.
That's very true.
There's no restrictions.
No one, I don't have to have anyone else sign off. It's just mine. Yes, that's true.
And that's important, too. I think, I guess I'm going to ask both of you, since you're both so good at thinking about how you might use things, it'd be fun to hear what might be on your workbench or your table space or your workshop right now that you're thinking, wondering what to do with or might be your next project.
Should I start?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I am working on something now, and I set myself up with these problems. And it really is, and that's frustrating, and it's also inspiring, and it's also rewarding, not at the same time. But right now I'm working on a piece that I'd like to submit at the Fit Center for their river. They're called The Heart of the River, and I'm working with, and I feel like The Heart of the River has something to do with the relationship of the water to the land, and that stones and water, and that the fact that the river is there because the land shaped it and the river shapes the land. So it's this back and forth between the land and the water, and that's how we, as living, moving organisms, connect with the river. So I'm trying to take stone and connect it to zippers. Make sculpture. And my husband helps me with, can we drill a hole in the stone? Can I put it in the air? How can I make this happen? And so that's my idea, and which is going to put me into a place that I will be using glue some of the time. I think I'm going to have to use glue, and I don't use glue. I usually do all stitching and or welding. And so that I'm going to have to add that element in order to connect with the stone. And I'm actually thinking about it as a jeweler would think about holding a stone into a jewelry piece. But my stones will be larger. They'll be sculpture size. And so I'm really curious to see where this takes me. And if I don't quite get it done in time for that show, I will probably do it anyway. Because now that I've got the idea and I've been looking at stones and I've kind of been moving in that direction, I'm going to try it and see what happens and see if I can do it. Besides, I have a lot of zippers.
Well, I like what you said, that you present yourself with a problem, and then you just have to come up with ideas. You have to brainstorm. You have to say, what if, and how would I do that? And that can take, if you don't begin the journey, you can't get there.
Yeah.
And that's pretty phenomenal. That sounds like something I would be curious to see how that unfolds. And so that's exciting that you're, I love how you're challenging yourself. Jim, for you, what's sitting on your workspace right now?
Well, I had done, about a year ago or so, I'd done a large piece for the watershed from Owatonna, Faribault, and Northfield along the Strait and Cannon Rivers. And I had done about 35 illustrations of different places along the river that were historical and artistic and historic places. And so I want to take that in and do another coloring book that would be for the whole rivers, for the different, each town would each have its own part of it. I've kind of got it putting it together. So
I forgot that you did some maps before too, right?
Yes,
walking
right.
trails.
Yes, exactly. I've done a number for Northfield and so this one would be in encompassing all those different spots. So it's an exciting project, but it's pretty big. So I'm taking my time.
That's a long river.
Yes, right, exactly.
I love the watershed idea. I think that's such an important concept that we don't really acknowledge, and that really we all share the same water in the watershed, and we need to be mindful of that. And I did look at your maps. I do love your maps. I'll be interested to see your watershed.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Thank you.
That'll be fun.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I do want to have listeners know, that the opening for this show, the official opening and the reception, is this evening from 7 to 9. And I understand, Barb, that you have another show opening. So
I do.
So you can't be in two places at one time.
No. And I did think about that, and I can't.
you have to work on that. Put that on your workbench.
I know.
So you'll be out at the Phipps Center, I understand.
Yes.
And folks could go visit you there if they feel like taking a bit of a road trip, or they can come to downtown Northfield, and Jim will be there, and many of the artists will be there for the opening reception. It's really just, I really like how they use the space, how there's light. It's unusual, I think, for there's so much lightness. Maybe it's the colors, the variety of sculptures, the fabrics, the, you know, different ways of envisioning what a sculpture is. It's a really brilliant show.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Not just for my part, but it's the whole works. There's some great pieces. You'll love seeing it.
And
I checked the website of all the people, because I'm not going to be there for the opening, and I was impressed, and so I'm definitely going to get down there.
Oh, good. So maybe we'll have a chance to visit with you. And I thank you so much for taking the time today to come and join me to share the story of Freeform, which I love that title, of the current exhibit at the Northfield Arts Guild Gallery that is open now, and the reception is tonight from 7 to 9. There are going to be refreshments, but you can come and see it anytime. It's open anytime the Arts Guild offices are open, right in downtown Northfield. So it's a opportunity. I love getting inspired by seeing the shapes, the colors, the ways people use things. Just, it's really fun to do. So thank you for putting your work and for being available for this conversation.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Thank you, yes.
I want to thank Barbara Bend and Jim Bonhoff for joining me today. Have a great day. I hope we'll meet you sometime soon, Barbara.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Bye.
Folks, this is Art Zany Radio, and I'm going to just give you one quick thing. I want to remind you, too, that opening tonight is the Arts Guild production of Lysistrata, and this is the Aristophanes play, a comic masterpiece of war and sex, gender relations, and reason. And it's one, according to this write-up, one of the greatest plays in the history of theater. And it's relevant to today. The folks from the show were my guest last week, and so I got to learn a little more about it. It's extraordinary. It sounds really fun. That is at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. I know sometimes they do it theater in the park, but this one is at the theater, and that opening show is at 7:30 tonight. It runs for 2 weekends. You can get all the information at northfieldartsguild.org, or you can come downtown to the offices to check out your tickets. I know they're probably selling well, so you're going to want to get your tickets in advance of the show. Next week, we're going to feature the Northfield Noontime Organ Concerts which also start really soon. And again, that author that I visited with his beautiful book about Somalia, this collection of short stories, is going to be on the show as well. That's Ahmed Ismail Youssef, The Lion's Binding Oath. And I hope that you are enjoying your summer, finding some time to maybe play, maybe create some problems. I like that idea. Go ahead and just see what's around you, what you can do with what you have, and make sure that you find some time for some of your passions. So I hope until the next time you find some time to add some Art Zany to your life and enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8000.